It depends on how many I've had.
It depends. Yeah, exactly. How late was I at the bar?
Yeah.
But, Sorry, I had to step in on that one.
Okay, if God is a jealous God, then why is it wrong for us to be jealous?
Aren't we created in His own image?
Exactly. Well, still, but we're not supposed to be jealous.
Is jealousy a true sin, though?
No, jealousy is not a sin. I mean,
jealousy can lead to sin.
Well, yeah.
Exactly,
jealousy
but
and coveting
jealousy
are very similar also.
No, coveting is more lustful.
Jealousy is not lust.
Also
coveting neighbor's goods. What would you be lustful over, like, goods? You're jealous of that person. You're jealous because you want what he has.
He's got a nice car.
Right.
I want it.
I don't think jealousy is covetous.
Jealousy sparks a lot of stuff.
Well, I mean, I think they're related ideas. I think if you covet something, you could be jealous of it or something, or of the person that owns it. But I don't think that it's the same concept.
We're gonna mud wrestle for this after the show.
like you were saying,
they're related.
Jealousy does start a lot of stuff. If I'm jealous of somebody, and I'm that type of person, I might even think about killing you.
Wow.
I said if I was that type of person.
You're welcome to anything I have.
Some people are that jealous.
On that issue.
What was that?
There's a contradiction even in the Ten Commandments on that issue. I mean, for instance, God, we're created in God's image, according to that very Bible. Now, and He says, I am a jealous God. However, He turns around and says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Now, is that not a form of jealousy? You covet what you cannot have because you're jealous of it?
Is it? Well, I mean, that may be one aspect of it.
Ten Commandments. You go into the later years, into the New Testament, you start getting into even more of that don't be jealous thing.
Yeah, that's true.
I never really thought
of that. But in His image, how can we be different?
Right, yeah, because if in order for it to follow logically, right, we have to have the qualities of God. So we would have the jealousy quality.
Well,
how do we have the benefits without the faults?
Right.
Exactly. If I am created in God's image, because I'm a bad guy. I mean, I'm a nice.
He's got a good sense of humor.
Mike's going off again.
As you might have heard, Ed, I had to go to a 3-hour Catholic ceremony.
Right.
I found a lot of interesting parallels between the ritual, because there's a lot of ritual that goes on. And several other religions that I've studied.
Mm-hmm. A lot of those are derived from a lot of pagan religions.
Yes.
The majority of the rituals themselves are taken.
Because I've attended a lot of pagan things, and there's definitely a lot of parallels.
They're the Catholic Church, basically, you have to remember where it was first established, and that was in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Emperor Constantine being the first Christian emperor, and trying to bring his people over from paganism into Christianity, tried to adopt a lot of similar rituals and techniques to make the changeover easier as a political leader and to unite a people. And that's exactly what happened, but Catholicism just kept going, and of course, by the wayside, paganism kind of got tossed about. But in the long haul, that's initially where it started, was with Constantine, as they started forming things. Now, a misassociation from that also came about during the Dark Ages, when the witches and pagans started becoming associated with what was called a Black Mass. But that Black Mass was nothing more than the Roman Catholic rituals and ceremonies done in reverse, and that was a protest by many of their bishops and so forth against the political power of the religious right at the time.
And that there was huge, incredible, like, amounts of politics going on when the church was trying to gain world domination or whatever it's done, or, you know, convert all the heathens and stuff like that. The politics play just absolutely boggle my mind. They even had, hadn't they in, I'm going to get the dates and the names all wrong, Wasn't there something with Cromley or something that starts with a C?
Crowley?
Not Aleister Crowley. This was Cromwell? Okay, I've lost it, but I was studying, I was trying to memorize the order of the royalty in England, right? And you're going, king this, queen that, that kind of thing. Finally, you get to, I think it was about 1645-ish, okay? Or maybe it was 1565. It was something like that. And
give or take a few hundred years.
Suddenly, for a couple of years, there was no king or queen.
Right.
There was a bishop of some kind, or some pope or something, I don't know. It was some fellow church-related.
Well, see, that all goes back to political power being the underlying force behind that entire concept.
And for several years, I think it was...
the Constantine.
It was like 15 years or so. They actually took away England from the royals.
Yeah.
And Phobos might be...
Nothing
like,
there, but
no
they,
right
what
away.
Did they put in place? A religious leader.
They put a religious leader instead.
Religious leader is still a leader... It is just that a religious leader in a political void is better than no leader.
Well, okay, that I have to completely agree with.
And that is what history has shown. The problem is the religious leaders realize the implications of their political power and ran amok, so to speak. And that's what history has shown us, that occurs when politics and religion mixes.
And similar in France, the politics of religion are just incredibly, you know, in history, mm-hmm. are just absolutely incredible in France. And those are the two superpowers of the ancient world, is going to be England and France, and or of, you know, in that time era, the 1600s. But I was absolutely, that 3 hours, I went from, you know, wanting to sleep through it, to paying attention to absolutely everything that went on, except for when they were doing the thing where they were calling out everybody's names who was getting all, you know, baptized and stuff like that. That was the part where I just sort of escaped to, quote, go to the lavatory, end quote. But everything else, the rituals, the, you know, the readings and things like that, I actually really intently listened to all of that. It was amazing. I was in shock, is what I was. It was a culture shock for me, after having studied, the King James Bible in college, and then going to this practical application of that knowledge. It floored me completely.
Well,
floored me.
I do know from personal experience, a Catholic wedding as opposed to like a regular
a non-Catholic
Baptist
wedding,
let's just say, or non-sanctioned wedding, let's just call it that.
Yeah,
it's drastically different.
Oh yeah,
drastically different. I mean,
even the ritual tools between the Catholic Church and other religions, for instance, paganism, are very similar. They're almost identical. In fact, a lot of them are identical. They've just left out certain aspects.
They also talked about, there was actually a spot, and I cannot remember it. It was part of one of the readings and part of one of the rituals that followed, and it was directly related to magic. And if I could remember it, I would enlighten, you know, I would let you know. I'd say, okay, here's what they said, here's what they did. But it was directly because I had attended in when I was in college, you know, religious studies, things like that. I had to go to some different churches and things like that. Well, I chose to go to Mormon. I went to a Mormon service, and I also went to a pagan service, and actually did a couple times then, but the magic part where what means magic to me, or at least the kind that I had seen happening at the pagan
dagger involved anywhere?
No daggers at the Catholic church, but the one that I just went to. But there were daggers at the masses, you know, the pagan rituals that I went to.
That's what
but,
I mean.
No, they just did a cup of wine and a dagger.
Find the first white chunky kid and sacrifice him.
Why? Because there's a lot of them.
And we went, and right. So, but what magic means to me is calling in the forces of the earth. right? Mm-hmm. The forces of nature, the forces that you know, that are out of our control, that we simply cannot control.
Yeah.
So what happens is they call on these forces. There was a spot in this Catholic Mass, mm-hmm. this Catholic ritual, where they called on forces other than God.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's magic. That's magic right there that they're doing.
What's going on there?
There you go.
And I was absolutely shocked at that point as well, but I wasn't writing it down or anything, so I've forgotten.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm looking out the windows.
It's starting to get stormy looking. I know.
It's like everything. We started talking about this, and it was all sunny and pretty out.
It's nice over here.
But it's dark and stormy.
It's dark
stormy
and
looking
over here, and it's windy, and I don't know what we're
yeah,
doing.
Yeah, we might get a lightning bolt or something.
Yeah, we're surrounded by trees.
Yeah. So, but I just thought they really did. They did magic at the Catholic Mass, and I thought that was really amazing. And I thought, I can't believe nobody noticed this. Why hasn't anybody noticed this stuff before and, like, actually wrote it down on the internet?
I'm sure someone has. It's just a matter of finding it.
Well, by that, you'd have to go to Catholic Mass all the time to figure out what the magic rituals are.
Uh-huh.
But it was magic, Ed. It really was. They called forces of nature into it.
Of course. They, you know, you don't really have to go through the internet to look for the magic that's in the rituals. Again, most of the pagan rituals are converted to Catholicism. Catholics, since the Catholic faith, and even the Christian, you know, as it's been watered down through the various denominations, the Catholic ritual, which they call a Mass, is essentially a lot of pagan tradition right there in it. It's the same exact thing. And they're doing the same thing, they have a different mindset when they're doing it.
Have you seen the Passion of the Christ?
No, actually, I have not. Just for the simple fact that there's too much behind it, and I'm one of these people that just doesn't put my, you know, when there's so much controversy over something, I just don't want to contribute to it because I see more of a sales pitch behind it. The more controversial you make something, the more tickets you sell.
Exactly.
So I tend to stray away from it and just wait till it comes out on cable.
That's what we do here.
Pay a cable bill anyway. Why not wait?
Why not wait? There you go.
Yeah, it'll. I'm sure. Although there, you know what? I heard in the news over the end of last week, I think. Mel Gibson says to the television stations and things like that. He says, you can, you know, lease the rights to show Passion, but you have to show it unedited.
Oh.
So that doesn't really mean much for like HBO and Showtime and
prime time.
But for actual television channels that have to follow the FCC rules, they're gonna I heard according to the news announcer, they're gonna have some issues.
Wait, was there sex nudity in there?
I don't know.
No, there Scott? Wasn't any.
You always block out the nudity, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure you could.
Really, no big.
There wasn't any nudity though. It wasn't a filthy movie. It was just a violent movie.
If they can air Friday to the 13th on some of these channels, then
so it's perfect.
Exactly.
Why can't they show that?
Exactly. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't get the gist of it myself. I think it's quite simplistic. I just don't get the controversy behind it.
It's because of our very upset. The Jewish people.
Turn your mic off. Those Jewish people.
Oh, no.
They're upset about it because it makes them look like...
Do we have to put this episode up on the archive?
I'm going to end up in the back of a diamond retailer tonight with a scarf
okay,
over my face.
What about putting the Bible as holding the table up?
Oh, I already okay. I turned the mic off after that one. I shut the mic off for half a second. It's okay.
That's the problem behind it.
Comedy Central plays a South Park movie. Have you ever seen a South Park movie?
Comedy Central, though, is not a television channel. It's a cable channel.
Time, yeah.
But
are you going to say about using the black people on the Jets?
No.
The what?
On the movie.
No,
South
no.
Park.
They don't edit it. It's all the swearing still left in there.
They did play that unedited version here about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I wonder how much they got fined.
Well, they said on an interview it was a late night talk show, and they had the girl from the host of Scare Tactics on there, and she said that they on Sci-Fi intend fully they have hired a second full staff of attorneys because they plan to push everything to the full envelope when it comes to that controversy over the FCC.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah, me too.
I hope so.
They even plan on adding full frontal nudity, you know, our partial frontal, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
All right, because, you know,
thank
that's
you,
the
Janet
thing.
Jackson.
I mean, because I don't swear. I even said this in my journal. I just don't normally swear in my normal daily life, and I certainly don't do it on the show.
I do, though.
You do, and that's fine. But the thing is, you know, remember the, I mean, it's right there for everybody to download, the anniversary party.
Yes.
Did I not throw the first F word out?
You cast the first stone.
Yeah, and that was in complete and utter protest.
When I say that was a glorious night after that.
Yes, it turned into a glorious night.
Because the F-bomb flew left and right after that.
Yes, I opened the floodgates, and it needed to be done. It really needs to be done. The FCC needs to, you know, like, definitely take a step back on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, and if Passion of the Christ makes it on TV, I'll watch it. I'll add, I mean, I'm not one of them Nielsen people. I don't have a little box or whatever. But I'll call one if I know any, and I'll say, hey, you know, let's turn on Passion. Because it's on. Because, you know, I want to add to the ratings of that. Because I would watch that. Even though I wouldn't really, it just would be interesting only because of, you know, the recent Bible study I did with Genesis chapter 1. I'd like to see what he does in the movie versus the description in the, you know, the different versions
King
of the Bible.
If that was a King James, very
okay.
Good.
Okay,
I'll tell you
good.
That. I'll leave it at that.
Then I'll be like, okay, that's what I remember.
Nah.
Yeah.
I want to tell you guys that Janet Jackson on Saturday Night Live, she popped her top again.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I thought they said she didn't.
They mosaicked it out.
Oh, okay.
She was doing a skit of that Conley Rice.
Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah.
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 Who's a very, very smart woman.
Yes.
But okay.
She popped her top.
Oh my gosh! So good. I think the FCC needs to be challenged.
Yes.
It's a good thing they're not on the internet. I mean, you know, if they were regulating the internet,
it's coming.
You'd see four people out in front of Doug's house with picket signs.
Yeah.
No, hell no, we won't go.
Yeah, Karma, Doug, Will, and Scott is now going to be followed by the FCC.
Yeah, the FCC copters.
That whole thing was the only reason we're having to pay for it as far as the FCC goes is because that was a publicity stunt to draw attention away from the focus where it was at the time.
Michael,
yeah.
Remember, and that's all that had to really do with, and it worked perfectly.
It was so
yeah.
blatantly obvious too.
Oh, yeah.
My God, it was disgustingly obvious what was going on there, and everybody just said, "Oh my God, did you see the boob?"
It worked beautifully, and now the FCC's on everybody about that. Now everybody got on the FCC and completely forgot what was going on.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that interesting? That's more politicking. That's
exactly
that's
all
politicking.
It was. That's a good. I'm sure somebody has a good publicist who's worked for a political candidate in their life.
Exactly.
It was so obvious because when I seen it happen, I'm like, oh, I know what's going on. Michael's going to be out of the news for about 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah, and it turned out to be actually longer.
It was.
The best part is, though, when you don't watch it, you don't have to worry about any of it.
Yeah.
I myself relieve any responsibility to any of this stuff.
I know, because you don't watch TV.
I had to see it for 5 minutes at my mom's house when I stopped by. Oh, my God, would you look at my... And I just was like, I got to go. I got stuff to do. See you later, Mom. I have relieved any responsibility of this.
But
you
love
it. I watch The Passion of Christ, though, again.
But eventually,
you
can
download it on the internet.
But everybody kind of missed the whole point afterwards where it was about 2 days later, two or three days. Well, it was a while after controversy, right after they brought up the FCC thing.
Mm-hmm.
The brother was on television with a political congresswoman or something, and they were pointing into some kind of office, and the entire room refused to clap, and he was upset because no one would clap for him, and they showed it on CNN. But no one saw that little excerpt.
Yeah.
That just kind of got buried all of a sudden because of all the FCC stuff, and that's all I saw for an hour beforehand, and then I saw this little blurt on that, and that just shows you how well manipulation works.
I'll tell you how well the media itself works on the mind. When I did watch that for 5 minutes with my mother, which was the Jackson trial, the day of the trial, I loved how, and I've been watching this for years, noticing this, how tight they keep the camera angles during these events. Because they were talking to the lawyers, first of all. Well, we have this lawyer right here, butt kisser one, and butt kisser number two right here. And what do you guys think? Oh my God, look at the turnout of all these people. There must be at least 5,000 to 10,000 people here right now. And You can just feel it. You don't. It don't take an intuitive to feel this out. And I'm watching the camera angles, how tight they are on Michael Jackson, where, of course, there's people piled around him. He's Michael Jackson. And his most adoring fans are there that piled around him, but that's all you see.
They don't pull it back and show you the...
They don't pull the camera back at all, is that you see the whole crowd. The few times they do, there's little bunches here, a little bunch right here.
You've been to a wrestling match?
Oh, well, yeah.
I walked into a wrestling match, took my son one time up here in down here in Alabama, and they only half the arena was filled.
Uh-huh.
So they packed everybody on one side... And they would only show that one.
They would only film that side.
You got it.
Same thing. And that was exactly what was going on, because I heard them point blank. I wish I would have recorded it. There has to be at least 5,000 to 10,000 people here right now. I'm amazed by the support Mr. Jackson is getting today. And that's when he got on top of the band with his camera guy. Here, come on up here, film all the people, all the 10 people that are out here in front of me, because the rest of the country don't care about me anymore.
That's his camera guy. His camera guy had a very nice camera, by the way.
Yes,
that's the only thing I was.
That's the first
out.
Thing I thought too.
I'm like, wow, that's a Canon.
But there was no one there. There was no one there. There was the people that were there were probably paid in the first place to be there.
So you didn't see the thing where they had busloads of people?
Yeah.
Going out to the
Oh, they went to Neverland?
Yeah. They were having hot dogs.
Well, sure, yeah. Sure, for free food, why not? Everybody's going to show up then.
Yeah.
I'd show up too. Hey, Michael Jackson's house.
You know how none of them brought their kids?
All right,
Mike off.
No, we have to put this in the archive now. That was a big winner. I liked that one.
We're not going to hell.
We're here.
We just have a nod of approval from God.
You would have to believe in hell to go there, I think.
Right.
But
that's the funniest part, though. I mean, we just discussed that, and I watched that point blank for a good 5 minutes and said, Mom, this is complete crap. It's such a lie. Look around you. Just look at the screen for a second, and you'll see what is really going on there. These lawyers are lying. The people are lying. Michael Jackson is lying, too. And that's the media right there. Along, I mean, that's the same exact thing you're talking about, Ed. Exactly the same thing.
That's meditation, though.
Hmm?
That's outward meditation. There are two forms of meditation, inward and outward, and that's just outward meditation. When you sit and you watch a ball game, and if you think about it, when the kickoff comes, you're sitting there and you're watching it on this little screen. And then by the end of the night, you're yelling and screaming at that television set like you're talking to the guys on the field and you're standing in that stadium. And you have no clue. You have completely lost comprehension of the fact that you're staring at that little tube, that little screen in front of you.
Well, and, you know, that's interesting, because I was thinking about that the other day as well, is that when you go to see a movie such as Passion or, well, any movie, it could even be the South Park movie, it could be any movie, you're sitting there in the theater with, I'm sure that what the producers and directors and actors and actresses hope is going to be all kinds of people, you know. So hopefully you're sitting in a theater that's not empty, you know, that has other people in it, and you're all staring and you're all participating in watching this movie. Movies are made with visual effects and sound effects, visuals and sound, in order to convey a story and also to move your emotions, right? Mm-hmm. To touch you, each individual somehow. And that's really, like you're saying, a form of meditation. It's really a way of, but that's directed. That's a lot more like, because I happen to have been reading a chapter about hypnosis in Lettrate Psychologie, and which is parapsychology, C.E. Green's work, and I was reading that on that, and then I thought, you know, what do they do in our daily lives? And television, movies, anything that tries to capture our attention for more than a moment, in that way, they actually use a lot of techniques of hypnosis. That people would use in hypnosis, and I don't mean, you know, like the.
Well, if I'm at a movie, I'm not thinking about anything. I'm trying to focus on the movie because I'm afraid to miss something.
Well, that, and you paid your $8.50 or $9.50, and then $10 for popcorn,
right.
and stuff. So yeah, you really want to watch this movie. But what it is, they want to capture your attention. They need to capture your attention, otherwise you won't, you know, have gone. You wouldn't have gone, or you won't go back.
Yeah.
So they need your attention, and by drawing your attention for that long, that's very hypnotic. And it uses a lot of the techniques of hypnosis to do that. And I was really, really flabbergasted at the similarities in that. And I never thought of it as outward meditation.
Well, our meditation is essentially the foundation for hypnosis. There are two forms of meditation. There's an inward meditation in which you tune out the outside and tune into yourself, and there's an outward meditation in which you tune into the outside and you tune out the chatter of your own mind.
Right. It's the watch my watch or that kind of thing, the swinging crystal, that kind of stuff.
It's more like having a... It's more like being... looking out the window through a glass door. You realize the door is separating you from the outside. But when you are out, you reach a point where you're outside and you're not conscious of the glass door anymore. The glass door is still there, but you're not removing the glass. You're just no longer conscious of the glass.
Right, and you are and your entire your attention is focused on the activities outside.
So much so that you're in, you feel
that,
as if you're in them.
That you may as well be right there.
That's
yes.
The ball game, you know, where you scream at television set, you know, final minutes, and you got 1 point to score, and you got enough time to do it to win the game. Your team does, and you're standing there screaming at that television set. You know, that's the same concept.
That's also the same thing that they use for scrying.
That's similar, but.
I don't know. Based on the
similar, but it's very similar. Don't misunderstand me.
Well, it's true that you're not concentrating. They're not providing you visual images when you're scrying. Mm. You're looking at a reflection in some kind of material.
Scrying involves a little deeper.
And your own brain is actually what's going to be end up creating the scenes in there.
That's one step on the pathway. That's one stepping stone, but that is not. You know, that's a good founding stone, but that is not a, you know, there are a lot of stones along the way that are involved besides just that. That is a very firm part of it.
But you need to be able to get into that thing.
To scribe, because it's not, but there's more involved. But that is a very good point that you made, too, that is a good stepping stone, a good founding rock.
Well, you need the same. From what I understand, you need the same kind of attention focus and at the same time being inattentive of it, and that's just like watching TV. I mean, you have to lose yourself to it.
Well, essentially, but that's where you cross the line between everybody has thinks that meditation is simply meditation. There's only one kind. There are two kinds of meditation, and in order to effectively achieve something, for instance, like you're talking about with divination...
You have to do the inward meditation?
Pardon me?
That's where you have to go into the inward and not outward?
No. See,
no?
That's where people get confused.
Okay.
The key is to practice outward meditation and inward meditation separately, understand the mechanism behind both, and then reunite them again.
Okay.
In other words, it's like taking a car apart. If you want to know how a car runs, you have to tear the engine down and rebuild it. Then you understand why when you turn the key, where the spark goes, and et cetera, et cetera. Whereas otherwise, you just get in the car, turn the ignition, go, okay, it starts because I put the key in it. It's not the key that makes it work. You have to break down the car.
Yeah,
the pieces
of it.
You have
to unlearn
what
you've learned in order to go forward.
Okay.
It's just basically breaking down the fundamentals of the whole thing.
Right.
And
yeah,
then rebuilding
how
them.
They all work
in a nutshell, and it's not quite that way. You have to kind of take two steps back in order to take three steps forward.
Exactly.
That I can
understand.
Yeah, I like that. So, well, what about, are we not going to have time to do, we have a half hour left.
Yeah.
I know you wanted to talk about the coincidence that happened in your life, Scott.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
You want to do that? So, well, do you want to take a break first, or do you just want to get into it?
Let's get into it. Ed, do you want to hang on the line here?
I'm not going anywhere.
Okay,
I'm talking
good,
to the chat room, but why not?
you just want to move on to that?
Yeah, let's find out. Because
now
I've got to complain, or not complain, but I got to talk about
the
mystery of my Catholic thing that I just did. That was interesting. And we didn't talk about the ghost hunt. And that was actually kind of a letdown. So let's not talk about the ghost hunt because that was a letdown. But suffice it to say, we went and we checked out a local legend about that. What street was it?
Sterrett
Street in Utica,
yeah.
Michigan, and it didn't pan out.
Well,
so there was that.
I'm glad Ed's here anyways, because he might be able to give me some more insight on this anyway.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
So let's get into your story.
So stick around, Ed. We're going to get into this.
Okay, no problem.
About this little thing that happened to me last weekend. Should I just go through the whole thing? Okay.
Do a high level and then let's analyze.
If you haven't read the journal entry yet, which was very long, which most people looked at and said, this is too long, I'm not going to read it. We'll wait for Scott to talk about it on the air because I know he will. So what happened was last Thursday, and I'm going to break this down basically, which led up to the final event. Last Thursday, I got up. My phone woke me up. Whoever called me, I don't remember now, but I think it might have been you, Karma.
You know, I want to say something really quick. Huh. On your little thing for the Yahoo Messenger,
yeah.
It says sleeping, call me. Yeah, right.
Well, I have no problem with people waking me up.
Okay. I just had to add that.
I know I sound kind of funny, but, you know. So somebody did wake me up via my telephone, picked it up, talked to the person, got done, and I did what most men do in the morning when they get out of bed. I went to go to the bathroom. Went to the bathroom, did my business, hit the handle, and nothing happened.
Well, first of all, it's information overload.
Well, I
understand. I've already heard
that. You know, with a little less description.
I'm not telling you what I was reading and stuff. I mean, I'm just...
But I already heard, and it is pertinent to the story.
It is a detail that
bottom line of the story. So I pushed the little handle thing, nothing happened. I'm like, this is pretty funny. What's going on here? So I popped the top off the toilet, see that the previous owner of my home that I just bought last October broke the chain on the toilet originally and decided to take, instead of going and replacing it with a nice little chain that you're supposed to have inside the toilet.
A 50-cent chain.
Yeah, a little chain, yeah, a couple of cents. He decided to take a piece of plastic twist tie and put it together like that. So it's barely held together. I don't know how it lasted as long as it did, a good 6 months. So I'm like, well, this is just great. Now I have to go buy a new handle because the handle itself was falling apart on the inside because it was plastic, so it was falling apart. It was rotted out. And the chain itself was gone, obviously. It was a plastic piece. So I had to cut that off when I was working on it to get it out of the way to even do the job correctly. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, great. I have a lunch meeting at 1 o'clock or 12 o'clock or something like that. I need to be to that. I don't have time to fix this thing right now. Let's see if I can rig it back together and make it work. So I did. Managed to get the toilet back in working order again so it would like flush and then stop. And went out about my day. Did my thing. Now, I came back from... I went and had to go downriver for a lunch meeting. Came back up. Realized I had checks to drop in the bank, so I'm like, okay, cool. I'll just stop at my bank and then head home. I drove by a hardware store on the way home and said, looked at the hardware store and said, I really could stop right now and get this part. I don't have time. I have laundry to do. I have people coming over later. I have to get all this stuff done. I need to get all these things taken care of. So the toilet's working right now. It isn't like, you know, we have water rushing all over the place. You know, this is cool. So I went home, did my thing. Got home, and I had another engagement planned for the evening where I was going to meet my ex-roommate for a couple of drinks. Real big, important thing, right? So I'm making it sound so important, right? So I get home, call my ex-roommate, say, hey, are we still on? Yeah, man, I'll call you around 9:30 when I'm coming over. And then I felt I sat and dueled around the computer for a few minutes, and then about 10 to 9, just a little bit before 10 to 9, actually, I'm like, I'm very tired. I need to take a nap. I'm going to take a power nap. So I lay down on my bed. Lay back first on my bed. Don't feel right. Something isn't happening. I tend to be a belly sleeper anyway, so I roll over on my belly, and I conk right out. That's all I remember. I just rolled over, and I was out like a light. Now, I remember, if you've read this is redundancy, sorry, but I remember hearing what I heard was this very aggressive house techno music being played. Getting louder and louder and louder to the point where I could actually hear the beats in my head because I play to a computer, so I know every single beat signature there is. It was about 160 to 170 beats. Okay? It was getting louder and louder and louder. Now, at first I was like, hey, this is all right. It's pretty cool stuff. I like this. But it got so loud to the point where it was actually scaring me. It was so loud it hurt my ears. It was uncomfortable. Something in my mind said that I needed to get up to make this music stop. So I tried to get up. I got up off my bed. Something pushed me back on my bed. Laid me right on my back, right on my bed.
What was her name?
Sophia.
Sophia.
But I don't know what it was, because everything was pitch black, mind you, also. I could not see a thing. So I got knocked on my bed again, got back up, and the second time when I finally got back up, I just pushed myself off the bed. Ran according to the dimensions. Now this is what I figured according to the dimensions of my room. Ran smack dab into my dresser. right? Now, it didn't feel like the dresser had a wall behind it, though. It just kind of went forward and then came back on me, laying this heavy weight on my chest. That was just, it was just very heavy on my chest. So I was like, and I went, dashed the other way, which would have been like a 90-degree angle, smack dab right into my snake terrarium. You guys have been in my room, so you know what I'm talking about. Smashed into that thing, same effect. Kind of like, there was like no wall behind it, came back on top of me, and just this heavy weight. Could not hear anything now because the music's so loud, it's pitch black.
I don't think you actually woke up. We talked about this. I think you were having an out-of-body experience.
I don't know. Yeah, we talked about that night. We talked about that night, actually a couple hours later. But I, at that very moment after I hit the snake cage and came back, the music was just so loud it was unbearable. It was pitch black. My eyes opened. In the same position that I laid down. I mean, I didn't move a muscle from what I saw. It was exactly 10 minutes later. I woke up at 9 p.m. And I heard, it was probably the cloudiness in my head. I will grant that one.
Where did you wake up?
On my bed.
Right where you fell?
Right where I went to sleep at.
Right, dresser right where it belonged?
Yeah, everything was fine. Nothing was moved. Everything was totally fine from what I could see.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, everything's totally fine.
Actually, to me, it sounds more like a discombobled dream. And by that, I necessarily mean that's where we cross the line between magic or paranormal or anything in terms of versus psychological. It's more of the subconscious worry you had to begin with over the initial problem with the toilet.
Maybe.
And you were so exhausted that you just did not have the energy to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And your body was telling, even though your subconscious mind wouldn't let it go, your body, your physical body was saying, look, we're staying here.
Yeah. Well, maybe that is a good way to look at it also, and I never thought about it that way.
Astral projection.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like it was more of a...
Well, the problem was that is that this thing felt so... Most dreams I have are ridiculous.
Right.
About 90 to 95% of the dreams I have are absolutely hysterical. I wake up and remember just a slither of them, and I'm laughing hysterically because it's so unbelievable what happened. And for a split second after I wake up, I believe it. That's the weirdest part. We've all experienced that before. And then you finally come to your senses and go, oh. Well, I woke up, and it felt so real. And like I said, I was probably still kind of cloudy-headed because I just woke up, but I did hear a rustling outside my door. So I thought, well, I like to call it a stumbling sound because that's usually the sound of FJ when he comes in the house. So I opened my door up, and of course, no one was there. No one was home. The house was still pitch black like I always keep it. Nothing happened. So I blew it off completely. Hopped in the shower, waited for Jim to get there. Okay, so... My ex-roommate Jim comes over. This is the first time he's been to my home, mind you, also. And he hadn't seen all the home improvements I've done, right? So this all ties in, Ed. I mean, that's an important part. But it leads to all these other things, which make it even more weird to me. That's why I'm turning this into some kind of psychodrama, I guess. But
due to the circumstances. Honestly, I think it probably... I have to stick with the initial thing and say that afterwards, it was so profound that there was that much going on to begin with. That it continued to carry over.
Well, let me take it to the end, and you tell me if it still ties in, and tell me if it even was a part of what actually happened in the end, because this spans over 3 days. I went out for drinks with my ex roommate Jim. Stopped by, looked around my house, and said, "Hey, man, I really like these ceiling fans. I really like these ceiling fans you got. How much did you pay for these?" "Ah, about $40. They're relatively cheap, and they're real nice." "Hey, tell you what, man, what are you doing tomorrow?" "Well, nothing. I have the day off of work." "Well, I'm gonna go pick some of these up from the hardware store, and would you mind helping me out? Because I don't know how to wire stuff." I'm like, "Yeah, no problem at all." So we went out and had a couple drinks anyways. Spent a couple hours there, just talked about how much we hate people and all that fun stuff. And came back. I didn't feel like going in, so I ended up going up seeing some more friends up the road a bit. Ended up going by Karma's house and hanging out over there and playing with the dog for a little bit. And I actually told you about the dream I had. Normal day. Nothing really weird going on here. So next day I get up, and I'm trying to blow through this as fast as possible because there's a lot going on here.
Well, let me see. Let me just remind you one thing, Chris, but...
Okay.
unintended, because it's a Freudian phrase.
Okay.
But sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
It could be.
And as George Carlin would say, sometimes a cigar is a big brown one.
Well, what I'm talking about, essentially, I'll get into this right now so it'll help people understand what's going on.
It freaks you out, and there's got to be more there.
Uh-huh.
And...
Well, you've mentioned Freud.
Driving, you know, you fall. That's how we fall into that mentality we were talking about earlier with the Janet Jackson thing.
Yeah.
How we're able to do that. We get sucked into this one concept and we dwell, even if it's in our subconscious mind or in the back of our heads, that our back of our conscience even, not just that, they get stuck there, and then we start reading things into it. To the point where it starts becoming self-feeding.
Okay, hear it out then. Just confirm it with me then, okay? Because if this is what I think it is, it's gonna be dead by 9 p.m.
Yeah, it's self-confirming.
It'll be a dead. It'll be
error, and it always stems over your bad crapper.
No, it's part of it.
The interesting thing about that is it leads up to
something very, very
something
strange.
Extremely, extremely profound, and that's why the story is scary at the end.
Yes, because what happened was the next day I got up, did my usual thing, got in the shower, looked at my toilet, shook my head, walked back out. Now I told Jim, this is going to work out great, Jim. I'm going to go with you to the hardware store. You can get your ceiling fans, and I can get the part for my toilet. And we'll all be happy.
And everything will be all taken care of.
Everything will be taken care of. So we went down to Jim's house, jumped out of my car, jumped in his car, shot down to the hardware store, which is the one on his side of town, which is like kind of far away from my house, right? Went over there, picked up his fans, picked up the part. I saw, I'm like, this looks like it'll work for my... Here's some chain and here's a handle. I think this is going to work. Great. Go over to Jim's house, help him put the fans up. We had three of them to put up. I only managed to get two done. As I was just saying, you know, holding your arms over your head for 3 hours is not something that's a lot of fun. Most of us know that. So, finished that up, got done, came back to my house. Actually stopped by Kelly, EnchantedSoul.com.
Oh, yeah.
Plug. Stopped by her shop. Her opening day was last Thursday, so I stopped by her to wish her luck and all that fun stuff. Came home to pick up my roommate, FJ, kick him in the head to get him out of bed because it's time to play a show that night. Because I have to play a show that night with Timmy's band, right? I'm like, well, I got a couple minutes here. I might put this thing together. It'll only take a couple minutes to put the toilet together, right? It's just a couple of pieces. So I put the part on, of course. My luck, it don't work. The handle won't fit right, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, great, whatever. So it worked, but it didn't work. I mean, it was sloppy, but it did the job. Great. Go out, do the pre-show ritual with Timmy's band, which means going to the topless bar. Wow, fun. And then went and played the show. At the end of the show, we were both whooped. We were both absolutely tired. It was 2:30 in the morning. Let's just go home and crash out, right? On the way home, Timmy's like, I need to stop for cigarettes. So we actually stopped at the 7-Eleven. We actually stopped at the party store, right?
Yeah, I can't believe you said that. Did you meet the bottle Nazi? Is that where the bottle Nazi was?
That's,
yeah.
That's time to edit.
Yeah, we're gonna
so
edit
we
that.
Actually got to meet. I actually got to introduce Timmy to the bottle return Nazi, yeah. Bottle return Nazi Timmy, bottle return Nazi. You know. And we walked out of the store, and Timmy's like, man, I could really use some coffee. And there's a Coney Island right next door. And what made it even more fun is there's cops everywhere. So we're like, let's go over to the Coney Island and see who's getting arrested. This will be cool. So we go over there, grab a cassette down at the bar, grab a cup of coffee. I grab some rice pudding, and we just sit there and chat for a little while and sip coffee and eat pudding, right? Now we're wired on coffee. We get home, and we don't feel like going to sleep now. Let's watch a movie. So we sit down, put a movie in.
And you didn't watch it.
We didn't end up watching it. We just started talking about everything. Like, with me and Timmy, it's one of our rituals on the weekend is we sit and talk about life, right? So we talk about life. We end up getting into ex-girlfriends. That hollow topic that all men fear. We got into ex-girlfriends. Not just ex-girlfriends. The ex-girlfriends in our life that have ripped our heart out of our chest, stomped on it, and then urinated on it and walked away laughing, right? Those are the ones, the real bad ones. So I got into the story about, oh boy, and I don't know if she even has listened to the show, but we'll go with it anyways, about a young lady I dated about 7 years ago who absolutely put me, I don't think she meant to, but absolutely put me through hell in a handbasket, so to say. Talked about it for about a good 45 minutes. I don't want to get into all the details right now. They're pointless. But I remember talking about this with Timmy, and it went through my mind. I haven't seen this girl in 7 years. I have not talked about her really in 7 years. I've not really heard her name in conversation in 7 years. She is pretty much a ghost to me. She's just somebody in the past. Just a chapter of my life gone. But she came up. We talked about her. And I wasn't upset about it. It was just something that happened in the past. I'm over it, right? And it went through my mind, though. Wouldn't it be kind of funny if I saw her in the next couple of days? Just bumped into her somewhere. It would be kind of funny, you know? So whatever. So we end up sitting up till 6 o'clock in the morning talking about this stuff, right? Finally get to bed about 7, get myself back up at 11 to go back over Jim's house and finish this last ceiling fan. On my way there, I'm like, okay, I'm going to stop by the hardware store with my receipt and get the part I need for the toilet. Simple enough, right? Let's just get the part, go to Jim's house, take care of business, shoot home, it's all over with, right? My weekend is solved. Head down to the hardware store. For the life of me, I cannot find this gigantic, huge hardware store. I don't know what my problem was, and I think I put that in my journal. I'm a walking compass. I can point anywhere you need to go. I'm very good with directions. I always have been good with directions. And I could not find this store. I looked around for a good 15 minutes to the point where I finally said, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to go to Jim's house, take care of business there, and have him give me directions back down here, which is the funniest part. It was a mile and a half away from Jim's house.
And didn't you used to live there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we get to Jim's house. I get back to Jim's house, take care of business there. Hey, you hungry? Yeah. Have a little bite with him. I see these little figurines on his TV stand that I really liked a lot. I'm like, where'd you get those at? And where we usually shop at is the dollar store. He's like, yeah, the dollar store. I'm like, those are really neat. I want to get some of those. He's like, well, they're right over there at the dollar store a mile away. I'm like, well, yeah, I'm going to go to the hardware store and get my part, and then I'm going to go by the dollar store and get my things, and then I'm going to go home. And Jim suggested, hey, look, your best route would probably be to go down the street here, hit the dollar store, and then shoot down a half a mile, and you're going to run right into the hardware store you need to be at. Okay, that sounds great. So I go to the place, end up blowing $5,000 at the dollar store, like I usually do, load my car up, hop in my car, head down to the hardware store. I see the hardware store. It's funny. I see the hardware store. Now it's like some lost relic I'm trying to get a hold of, like Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. I see it in front of me, but I can't get a hold of it. I see the big sign, but I can't figure out which way to go to get to it, right? So I end up driving around this huge parking lot, the whole circumference of the parking lot, to get over to where I need to be. Jump out of my car, got my part in one hand and my receipt in the other. Now, I'm on a mission now, right? I mean, after all the crap that I've been through, I'm on a mission to get this thing resolved so I can just, you know, hit that little button and watch the thing work, right? So, hop out of my car, run up in there, go up to the counter, see the lady, hi, I have this part and I have this receipt. This thing's a piece of crap. It don't work. I need another one. At the same time I'm doing this with the clerk, I feel eyes staring at the left side of my head. So I look over to my left and I see this young lady who looks very, very, very familiar. To the point where I'm like, whoa, what's going on? That person looks very familiar. What's going on here? So I go back about my business because the clerk's like, excuse me, sir, you know, what do you want to do about this? I'm like, I just need to exchange it. I just want to get another part. Credit me or whatever, and I'll go get the part I need and check it out. Okay. Meanwhile, this young lady who was staring at me walked in the back. She was another employee of the store. And then I realized, it dawned on me that particular person that I was looking at was the exact same person I was talking about not 12 hours before with Timmy in my living room, who I had not talked about in 7 years, a good 7 years at least. She's never been part of anything, really. I mean, just I moved on and went on about my life. And now all of a sudden, I see her, and I'm like, I have to confirm this one. So I literally went up to the counter and said, can I speak to so-and-so? I mean, I'm going to leave names out, but they're actually on the journal, so you can read them. Yeah, no problem. So she comes out, and she's like, Scott, what's up? I'm like, wow, you know. So make a long story short, we sat and talked for a while. She's married now.
Too late.
Yeah, no, all right. No, she's married now. We talked about that. It was great to see her. It was really good to see her. It was really nice to see her and see how she's dealing with herself now. And she actually helped me get my part. Walked me up to the front counter, walked me right up there, and said, hey, take care of this guy. And I had to tell her when I was leaving, I'm like, I need to tell you something very strange. I hope you don't think this is weird. But we were talking about you. Myself and my roommate were talking about you just not 12 hours ago. And now all of a sudden, I just happened to run into you. I don't know what's up with that. It's kind of creepy.
Well, here's the creepy part as well. You ran into her at the hardware store that you shouldn't have had to have gone back to, but ended up having to go back to.
Well,
it was a hardware store that you wouldn't have gone to.
Normally at all.
At all, and you even had passed up an opportunity to go to a different hardware store and get all taken care of that same day.
Now, I'll leave out the part of me leaving the store with my legs jobbling and me freaking out in the car because of what I just witnessed. I'm not going to say, oh my God, this is anomalous, this is paranormal, but damn it, it's weird.
Plus, you couldn't find it earlier.
I couldn't find it earlier.
Actually, it sounds more like two separate things here. You broke into the toilet, old chest thing, the whole falling on your chest, all that mess. It sounds like that just kind of got the wheels turning.
Yeah.
But the real prophetic thing occurred thereafter.
So, if I can word this correctly, what is your opinion on this, Ed? Well, what do you think about
that? I see that as a form of a prophetic dream, but not when you saw it as. I see it as what it was. Have you ever had that feeling? Let me put it this way. It was precognition in the sense that, have you ever had the feeling that you're walking along and you get that impression that somebody's watching you?
Mm-hmm.
And you get the hair stand up on the back of your neck?
Yeah.
And then you kind of realize later, oh, God, I'm glad I was right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what it was, but it was at the moment from the hardware store on. The dream part was pretty much a cigar. It's just a cigar.
Just a cigar, okay. But
it's kind of, the story you told kind of blurs a lot of lines.
Yeah.
But the bottom line really is prophetic in the sense that the ending, in terms of your story starts a little too far back.
Well, I don't know, because
it really begins. It really begins there. It just, sometimes a coincidence is still a coincidence.
Uh-huh.
But the fact, the hardware issue with the hardware store not being able to find it in terms of timing is another story.
Well, the reason I'm telling all these details that go back 2 days, 3 days almost, is that they all seem to tie into me. What I've been analyzing.
Well, if you did that, though, you could go back to the day you were seeing this woman and dating.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. But I tried in my mind to go, okay, like you just said, okay, where did this start at? And I thought it started, honestly, when I woke up that Thursday
morning. The day
morning.
You met her.
Okay. I mean, we can look at it that way, too.
Well, I don't know, because I one of the things...
Chain of events. It's a chain of events that we can't unchange. We can't break that chain.
But, now, you say we can't break that chain. We got into this discussion that night, and one of the things that my roommate FJ said was, hey, man, think about it this way, man. This is another thing. It could be a matter of you getting caught at a red light before that, and it might have changed the whole outcome of that day. It might change the whole outcome. You got stuck at a red light for 3 minutes. It was that 3 minutes that she was standing at that counter.
The outcome that was meant to be, or the outcome that you think it was meant to be?
I mean, I'm lost, really. I am.
That's the question. Was that the outcome that, the red light scenario is a good example.
Yeah.
Is that...
Or what if I went to the... What if I went... Because the funniest part...
At the finalization of the outcome from the day... Say you met her back when and carried on through the whole process.
Yeah.
And all these chains of events led up to it, so that at that particular moment there was a red light and that event never occurred. Who's to say that it wouldn't occur 10 years from now and that wasn't the time when it's supposed to occur?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it was
you're kind of going into a synchronicity thing.
You just said the word. You just said the word.
That it was more synchronicity than anything else. I don't think it was a out-of-body experience in that
regard. Oh, no, I'm not saying that I was like the creepy crawlies or anything like that, but I studied this all week, Ed. The first thing I looked at was my roommate suggested, hey, you should look into the Grand Unified Theory on this. And I read into that, and that was more hard science, more astronomy, more things that happen around us, and as far as the mechanics go. But then I started to read up on...
Let me tell you, because I'm the biggest quote-unquote, and I use the word frivolously, devil's advocate. Okay. I don't see things as cut and dry. I don't take them for granted. I'm like you, more or less. I try to analyze things and break them down. And it's a chain of events. It's that synchronicity issue. I don't really think it's a body experience. Some of it, yes, is prophetic. But how much of it's prophetic versus how much it is synchronicity is another ballgame.
Well, yeah, and that's what I stumbled upon two nights ago, was I was reading up on this, trying to find a way to explain what happened. And I did stumble upon Carl Jung's theory of synchronicity. And that's what I have actually sitting next to me right now.
Do you know, Ed, he actually printed out the synchronicity, Carl Jung's synchronicity paper on it, and highlighted it and brought it to the show. And it took him a week. It took him a week to find that. And you just said, "Oh, well, it's more synchronicity than anything."
Well, I think that's the ultimate outcome of this. Honestly, now is that it was something I had to learn from. It has nothing to do with emotion. Some people are like, "Well, it's your next girlfriend, man. You're still in love with her." I'm like, "No, it has nothing to do with that whatsoever. I'm not in any way. This has nothing to do with emotion. This has to do with something that went down. And this is what captures me the most, because I mean, this kind of stuff happens to people all the time, Ed. We know that. We have little things like this that happen to us all the time, but a lot of times it's just so regular we don't pay attention to it. I paid attention to this the whole way through, and I was able to remember all these details from Thursday to Saturday, to the point where I got home and I was a complete ball of energy after that, going, "Oh my God."
You were meditating. You were outwardly meditating. You were focused on what was going on in your world. You were tuning in.
Well, it just...
Tuning out and tuning in simultaneously, as the expression goes.
Well, I'm glad I'm on the right track. As far as... Because what I'm doing, if you go to the site, Ed, and you go to my journal...
I've seen it.
My ridiculous ranting... Yeah, my journal. There are two very explicit articles that I put in there on this...
A lot of it is... I think a lot of it's a matter of distinguishing, first of all, the dream thing. The totally separate ball game.
You think it is?
There was two... Yeah, I think there was two separate... issues going on there. The dream thing, I think, was more of a stress-related subconscious. You know, you were in tune with your subconscious dreaming about that. However, something else was trying to slip into that dream that just didn't quite make it because, you know, of course, we can't control our dreams.
Yeah.
And I don't think it slipped in there, but I think it's a matter of synchronicity, the actual whole event in and of itself. I do not think it was that prophetic. I don't think it was... You know what? Well, call it. You know, I hate. You know, got me in labels. I hate labels. But yeah. Call it irony, if you will. But it's not anything I consider unusual.
Okay. Well, I didn't consider this. I want to make that clear too. Is I am not sitting here going, "Oh my God, proof."
No, if you did that more often. If you learn to tune into those things, you'll find it's just like those hairs standing up on the back of your neck when you think someone's looking at you.
Uh-huh.
When you learn to listen to that, then you'll see that it's not really that big a deal. It happens every single day.
Like I said, it happens a lot. But that's what was different with this case, though, is that...
You just don't listen to it enough.
Yeah, I listened to it this time, and I saw the whole chain of events unfold to the ultimate, which was me actually encountering this person after a short 12 hours of talking about this person.
And in the end, you found out that she was married.
Well, and that's fine. That's not even a big deal. And I was like, I'm actually very happy. That's very cool to see that she's happy now. Like I said, it isn't an emotionally driven thing at all. It's
yes, it is.
What the hell?
And this is personal, and you don't have to air it on the air.
Go ahead.
But
if you say it, it's on the air.
That's just a food for thought for you.
Okay.
And if there was closure, another ball game. If there wasn't closure, then perhaps, shall we say, that all things have a place and a time.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I walked out. Okay, I'll tell you what happened when I walked out of there. I walked out of there, and my legs went rubbery.
There you go.
My legs went rubbery. I got in my car, and I started crying. Uncontrollably crying. I don't know why. It wasn't because I was upset about anything. I was happy. I was happy that I got to bump into someone I hadn't seen in such a long time, and it was really
close you didn't have before.
Yeah, and it was. Yeah, I guess maybe that's what it was. So I still can't figure out what the hell happened to me, because I sat there and cried for about a good 5 minutes.
Every story has to come to an end.
Yeah. Maybe that's what happened with that.
It takes years to play out.
Yeah.
Don't even see the person who, you know, we're in the story with. We're the character that drops out of the picture for a year or two.
Yeah.
Goes away to school. But sooner or later we come back in the picture, and that part of the storyline has to end.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how the synchronicity thing works.
Well, not only does every story have to end, but every ghostly talk has to end as well.
And look at this segue master tonight.
Because it is 9:00.
Yeah, it is 9:00
Eastern
o'clock.
Time.
I mean, bored the crap out of everybody.
I think, hey, Ed, shoot out your website real quick.
It's Magic Mind. That's MAGICK Mind. Wicca websites. WICCA. .com. Sites.com, excuse me.
Excellent.
Whole way out.
Magic with a K, Minds.
It's Magic,
M-A-G-I-C-K.
I-C-K.
C-K,
yeah.
Okay, all right.
Magic. Is that a K at the end of what you would normally type for magic?
Right, so magicminds.wickawebsites.com. Yes, exactly.
Excellent.
Wicca websites.
Thank you, Ed. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for dropping in.
Really awesome.
A real treat.
You helped out a lot.
You helped out. You really did. I mean, this has been ripping my head apart all week. So.
Yeah, he's been...
Something you can't get into because it's really difficult to sit down with an individual and analyze something like that. But
well, he's been in a lot
of things at play here, not just... I think a lot of them have been touched on, but there's more than one area going on.
Well, I just think it's also very amazing that you happened to call in for it. Because
you got me started tonight. You're the one. Yeah, you can blame yourself. You got me started tonight.
Uh-oh.
Well, you're part of the story now, Ed. I guess I have to finish this course up, and that's basically. I mean, we're gonna have to call it that. I mean, maybe I'm gonna write you into that, and we'll see. I mean, I'm just gonna. I guess I might as well just close
it
out.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to let this go sooner or later.
It's getting time.
So anyway, it is 9 o'clock. I have to say, this has been Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
That's Magic Mind.
And that's
and I'm Magic Mind.
Magicmind.wickowebsites.com, and of course www.ghostlytalk.com. There's a link to Ed's site from there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ed, for calling in. And next up on Pioneer is going to be, of course, W Paranormal.
They're hanging tight right now.
Yep. And
get these guys off the line.
Yeah, they're like, all right, your 2 hours are up. So our hours are up. We'll be on
next Sunday,
7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern. Until then, thanks for tuning in.
True science will not deny the existence of things because they cannot be weighed and measured. It will rather lead us to believe that the wonders and subtleties of possible existence surpass all that our mental powers allow us clearly to perceive.
We must ignore no existence whatsoever. We may variously interpret or explain its meaning and origin, but if a phenomenon does exist, it demands some kind of explanation.
A quote from The Principles of Science, William Stanley Jevons, 1835 to 1882.